Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our first reading is from Joshua, the 24th chapter. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Ephesians, the 6th chapter. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Thank you.
There is a place where when you walk through its doors, you walk into a world of possibilities. You could go back in time, you could catch a glimpse of the future, or at least one of many possible futures. By crossing that one threshold, you open yourself up to worlds near and far, worlds real and imagined. This place is a library. Public libraries have always been one of my favorite places. Growing up, I spent tons of time there, so much time that I can still picture in my mind exactly where I would look first for a new book to read. Walk through the front doors, take a right, then another right, and walk to the far wall. That's where you'll find all the children's science books. I remember getting a little older, and instead of taking that second right, I'd stop after just one and immerse myself in historical fiction or some highly relatable coming-of-age stories. I remember first journeying to the mysterious section of the library where books for adults, both young and old, could be found, realizing that I was no longer a kid. I remember using the computers at the library, and that time I came in all ready to save my work on a floppy disk, only to discover that floppy disks had gone out of style like 5 years earlier. I remember all kinds of public libraries in all kinds of places. I still like to explore them in the different towns and cities that I visit. I wonder what memories you have of visiting the library or maybe a bookstore instead. I wonder what stories captivated your attention as a child. What characters have inspired you, what lessons you have learned, and what dreams you have explored. This morning, we find ourselves immersed in the captivating story of Joshua and his leadership of God's people. Led by Joshua, an inspiring character himself, the successor of Moses, we journey into and explore the Promised Land. There's conflict, raising questions about war, peace, and God's relationship to both. Many of us are likely familiar with the Battle of Jericho, and perhaps less familiar with the exact dividing up of the land among God's people. The book of Joshua covers this important time in the history of God's people, a time of loss and transition, with the story beginning right after the death of Moses. It's a time of change and conflict, punctuated by different battles, victories, and defeats. And all those stories lead us to the final story in Joshua's book, chapter 24, when Joshua gathers the tribes of Israel, summons the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers, all of whom present themselves before God. If we jump ahead briefly from this first verse in Joshua's final chapter all the way to verse 29, we learn that just as this book starts with the death of Moses, it ends with the death of Joshua. So when Joshua gathers all of these people together, he is preparing to speak to them, to lead them one last time. What will Joshua say? What lesson, what vision, what dream Does Joshua want to leave with God's people before he is buried in the hill country of Ephraim? Well, he tells a story. He tells their story. He tells God's story. In the verses we don't read, Joshua invites those who are gathered, which now includes us, to remember. Remember when God led Abraham through the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Remember Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Remember the land they were given. Remember when God brought your ancestors out of Egypt, when they came to the sea, pursued by chariots and horsemen, and were protected. Remember when we lived in the wilderness for a long time, still led by God, never forgotten or abandoned. Remember all that God has given us. Do you remember? Whenever I think about God and memory, I can't help but think about my grandma Wanda. She was a lifelong Lutheran. She prayed every night. And whenever we'd visit her up in Wisconsin, she'd pray with me before bed. I'd hear my grandpa snoring and talking in his sleep from across the hall. And then my grandma would knock on the door, kneel by my bed, and together we would pray the Lord's Prayer. Years later, my grandma's memory began to fade. The last time I saw and spoke to her was just a couple days before she passed away. I wore my collar so she could see me as a pastor in the church she loved so much. She couldn't really talk to us, and for the first time in my life, for the first time in her sickness, she didn't really look like my grandma. I wasn't sure if she saw me or if she could see me, if she knew who I was. But before we left her room, I knelt by her bed, just like she'd done next to mine all those years ago, brought my hands together, and prayed the Lord's Prayer with her one last time. And as I started to pray, it seemed like she started to bring her hands together too. And as we reached the end of the prayer, it sounded like she said right along with me, "Amen." There was so much she couldn't remember, so many things she had forgotten, so many moments of confusion in those last years of her life, and yet she remembered this prayer. She remembered her faith. She remembered our God. Somewhere, deep in her soul, she remembered. Those familiar words, "Our Father who art in heaven," awakened something inside of her, just like those familiar stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses were meant to awaken something inside of those gathered before Joshua as he makes his final speech. They're meant to awaken something inside of us, our faith. After lifting up these stories and asking us to remember, we get to the rest of our passage this morning, when Joshua instructs those gathered to revere the Lord and to serve him with all sincerity and in all faithfulness, to turn away from idols and turn back to God. Remember and respond. That's what Joshua tells God's people to do in his final recorded speech. Remember what God has done for you and respond with a life of faith and discipleship. The stories Joshua references are examples of God's strength and triumph, but they do not describe situations that were easy or without problems. These long journeys through the land of Canaan, raising new leaders, fleeing Egypt, and in the wilderness, were not without struggle. The promise isn't that life will be without loss or struggle. The promise is that God will be with us through it all. God will be at work in the midst of it all. And remembering that is how we continue to journey alongside God, turning away from the idols of our time, the distractions, the hopelessness and apathy, the selfishness and greed. Remembering God's presence is what strengthens us enough to respond, to, as we heard in Ephesians, put on that whole armor of God. Both texts, the whole book of Joshua, and this letter to Ephesians can and have easily been used to support dangerous ideas about war and violence. Joshua, of course, does indeed lead people into battles. Kings are defeated, lives are lost. And the language in Ephesians, whole armor, shield, helmet, sword, the things you wear when heading into battle. But the real conflict we're exploring is not about us versus them, God's people against God's people. It's about the conflict within ourselves, the desire to turn away from God and worship idols, perhaps not other gods, but certainly other things, perhaps even ourselves. As we heard in our text from Ephesians, this struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but is in fact a spiritual conflict. So when we put on this whole armor of God, we're actually being asked to bring with us everywhere we go the truth of God's love, the gospel of peace, our faith, our confidence in salvation, our trust in the Spirit, and the Word of God. We're asked to confront whatever struggles we face with confidence in God's enduring presence and a commitment to serving God and our neighbors. In this particular moment, I think the whole armor of God includes a face mask. We ourselves, those of us in this room and watching from home, were not there when God led Abraham through the land of Canaan. We did not flee Egypt with Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. We did not get saved from death on the shores of the Red Sea. The struggles of our time are different. Certainly these days, the struggle against COVID-19 continues. Case numbers are up, hospitalizations are up. Again, our lives are disrupted by safety precautions, heightened anxiety, and the lingering sense that this particular struggle will never end. This journey is not linear. It has its ups and its downs. It would be easy amid this season of pandemic, amid so many other struggles, to forget that God is still here, still at work, still leading us, and still expecting us to respond. So let us remember together this God who led Abraham, who led Moses, who led Joshua, and who continues to lead us now. Let us remember our story of faith, a story that does not end with the book of Revelation, but in fact continues with our lives today. Let us remember to respond, to struggle on behalf of and alongside our neighbors, to confront and combat idols like apathy, selfishness, and greed. A library in and of itself, the Bible invites us into a world of possibilities. We go back in time. We catch a glimpse of the future. When we open this book, we must be open ourselves to a new vision for the world. God's vision. A world where the last are first, all are loved, and communities are both just and peaceful. Joshua's story helps us to consider our role in that vision, our response. Joshua's story is a part of our story. As my parents wrote on the inside cover of my first Bible, the Bible is indeed a library, and each book within it ultimately tells the story of God's love. Your love for God, they wrote, is the next chapter. You write it every day. May we write this chapter together, remembering what God has done, trusting in what God is doing, and responding with faith, hope, and love.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.